Are you okay?
Don't care.
Great. Bring on the bubbly. Babe. Hey guys, this is Are You Okay with Teeny Lewis.
This is probably the most unhinged No, that's a lie. One time I podcasted like under a desk with like blankets when I used to be really obsessed with the sound. And now I've kind of surrendered. Like, I can't control everything. And I have Julia sitting across from me.
Pillowed up. This is called restorative yoga. It's a somatic healing practice. Thank you. I'm very comfortable right now.
Babe, you
I'm look, very comfortable.
Babe, you look it.
I swear.
She's here, Podsters. Yeah. We have the one and only Jules.
Just Jules.
Yeah, we're going to just call you Jules today.
That's it.
We don't want anyone to come after you after this. So
yeah, fair.
Maybe we won't.
Yeah. At this juncture of my career.
Career.
My career.
Speaking of career, mm-hmm. Jules, mm-hmm. What do you do?
I'm a waitress. I'm a waitress. We're taking it back. I prefer waitress to server. Thank you.
I was going to say, when did that switch happen? Because I no longer say waitress.
Nobody says waitress. Actually, nobody says waitress. And, you know, one in every 300 times, somebody uses it in lieu of server. And I'm like, okay. I was like, that's kind of nice. Waitress? Can you see me? I'm a woman. And that's fine. That's okay. You know, I'm okay with waitress. Moving along.
Incredible. So we're here. I've been meaning to do this episode for a while, okay? So hear me out, Podsters.
But I'm sorry.
What?
Can I just really quickly interject? I'm not really a waitress, right?
Are you a babysitter? Is that what you would call
Pretty
it?
Pretty much. I'm a babysitter. I'm just like, I'm a professional like gigger, you know? So like, my friends have called me the CEO of the gig economy because I'll pretty much do anything that I can convince someone to pay me to do. But the fact of the matter is, for the better part of 12 years, that happens to be sell people food and beverage.
Yeah, so let's take it back.
Not just a waitress.
Hospitality.
Okay, not just a waitress.
Right?
We're taking it back.
I am not just an actor. I'm also a waitress.
Bitch.
All right. So, I like how you used in lieu of this podcast episode, my love. We're going to take it back to why we are waitresses.
Why we are the way we are. There's a lot to unpack there.
That would become a six-part series.
Why we are waitresses. Okay. Is that the place to start? Yeah.
I mean, kind of,
yeah,
right?
Let's
we want to start at the beginning and we'll get to why I'm like, you know, hanging on by a thread here.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to do this episode to inform the public that the way they are behaving in restaurants on a daily basis are sending me closer to my death date.
People need to know.
People need to know.
People need to know how to act.
And disclaimer. I'm going to do a disclaimer. Don't cut me off.
Say it.
Disclaimer. Anything I say today, guys, anything, we're not joking. Actually, I'm not joking because there's a little truth in every joke. But this is for purely entertainment purposes. And if you've done any of these things, I do not hate you. Okay?
But I do. And that's okay. And that's okay, right? This is the beauty of the human experience. Differing views. They can all exist at the same time.
Having an opinion is hot. I think
that's right.
Julia and I, Jules and I.
You doxed me.
No offense, it is a very common name. Jules and I are the epitome of friends who I'm like, need to be liked by everybody. And
I hope that I'm not. I fucking hope that I'm not. That is a lot of work. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, and you love to call me out and say that I've never rested in my life and I don't know how to rest.
No.
Okay, I digress. But all to say is disclaimer, and Jules is like, fuck the disclaimer.
It's all for fun.
Awesome.
Nobody get butt hurt. You know what? Send them to me. Somebody wants to complain, send them to me.
Amazing.
Let's go.
Is that how you touch a table? Okay, I'm done. So we're taking it back. We're taking it back, okay? So when I was 17 years old, I was in school. Mm-hmm. I started as a hostess, right? Mm-hmm. So the first person you see when you get into the restaurant. Listen, we shit on hostesses, but here's the thing about being a hostess. It is low-key probably the hardest job there.
It's literally like being a server, but worse and harder. And you actually get treated worse, and you make a fraction of the money, obviously.
Right, you're making, like, minimum wage plus a
tip
out.
Respect to my doors people.
Listen, you gotta start somewhere. Yeah. And I was 17, and I remember, babe, I was working in a Jewish deli in Montreal, and it was, the servers were all, like, mid-50s, right?
This sounds so romantic.
Mid-50s, and they would yell at me, like, no kids in my section. And this is, like, we're talking racist people, too. No people of this race in my section. No people of this. No people. Like, it was crazy. And they would, like, accost me as a little 17-year-old girl. So I thought that it was normal to be treated this way in a restaurant.
Sure, yeah.
And then I started working corporate, right? So corporate, chain restaurants that I hate so much. But listen, there's a structure there.
Listen, there's a case to be made for corporate establishments, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's...
I refuse. I've only ever worked for corporate establishments, so I feel like I have some things, I have some opinions on this.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And sure, it's not mom and pop, and maybe the food's not the most authentic, and
fuck
yada yada.
Mom and pop. Fuck that shit.
See, I love
mom and
pop.
You know what mom and pop means? Mom and pop means... they're going to abuse you like they are your mom and pop. No, you're not going to pay me to do that. Quite literally, you cannot pay me to do
they're
that.
Gonna
I've got
skim
my
off
own
the
abusive
top.
Family, okay? I've got my own abusive family. Like, that's, no, I'm not going to do that for work as well.
Right, because they're skimming off the top.
Yeah.
They're slapping your ass on the way to the kitchen.
Oh, they're touching you.
Yeah. So, again, right, we love the structure of the corporate world, right? So, quickly moved into corporate, moved to Toronto. Anyways, all to say, I've worked all over. I've done hostessing. I've been a server many times, and now I'm a bartender, blah, blah, blah. I've done catering. I've done all of it. Yeah. But it's kind of the only, you're saying you're the CEO of gigs, mm-hmm. and I kind of am too, especially as a performer, in and out.
Of course.
I've tried the dog walking.
Yeah.
I've tried the nannying. But guess what? I always come back to this. Mm-hmm. And I always come back to it because of the money, because of the flexibility, because of the life it allows me to live, and because I can't shut up, and I am a people person and an entertainer and this. It's like the perfect environment for
this
me.
This is my gift. To the world. But it is.
Right.
Dead ass.
And we want people to feel better leaving our restaurant than when they came in.
Oh, I don't give a shit. No, I don't care. No, I don't care.
You're not taking on the weight of that?
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay, so why did you start, huh?
Well...
fess up.
I've been working more than half of my natural born life. I'm a working class hero. Like, I got my first job when I was 14, which was, like, that's not even legal. I think you had to be 15 or 16 at the time. At, like, a music... lesson shop of some kind. and I've never I'm 33 now, and I've never not had a job. So at no point did I think to myself, gee, when I grow up, I want to be a waitress. But, you know, I don't, work is all I know. Like, survival is really all I know, in a lot of senses. Like, I'm the child of first generation immigrants. Like, my parents are immigrants. My parents have accents. We only all know work. So,
right.
You know, at a certain point so I did it all. It was like, you know, it was the music shop. Then it was the coffee shop. Then it was the grocery store and the coffee shop. Then it was the movie theater for 2 weeks. Then it was retail. Then it was landscaping. And then at a certain point in that process, I ran into a girlfriend at a restaurant, and she was like, what are you doing? You should work here. And I was like, should I? And I guess I can't. I would love to name the restaurant, because it's so kitsch and it's so good. And anyone who knows me well would be like, wow, tracks. Alas,
we're
that's
not
all I'll
gonna
say.
Throw
I'm not going to name it.
Our establishments under the table today. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if you know, you know.
Okay.
But if you know, you know. So yeah, at some point it was that. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
So now it's been, you know, 12 years. And not steady. It's not 12 steady years of, like,
same.
Hustling and slinging fucking drinks. But I meant to ask you about cussing.
Babe.
It's fine?
Clearly she hasn't listened to my show, guys.
My bad. Okay, great.
Babe, swear away. Okay, this great. Is an inclusive space.
I know. I would just hate for your podcast to be all bleeps.
Oh my God, no, I swear. Listen.
You run it back and you're like, Jules, it was really good. We had some really good stuff there, but it was 30% of bleeping.
No, my mom will call me and be like, there's a couple extra F-bombs in there that you didn't need to include. Okay,
so meet me halfway. Bleep some of them.
Yeah, no, I won't be bleeping. That's too much editing for me to do.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but I have 5 bartending shifts coming up, okay?
Fair.
I don't have time to bleep your fucking mouth out.
Fair. Okay.
Ooh,
okay, baby. I'll try to keep it clean. I'll try to keep it clean.
No, we can swear. Just like not an accept. Okay, enough. We digress.
It's fine. I digest.
You digest and I digress. So you were the one who taught me, Jules, that...
Oh, I think I know what you're about to say, and I really hope you're about to say it.
Yeah? Yes. My job is the least interesting thing about me.
Yeah.
Where did you get that?
Honestly, I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember, like, I think I was, like, on a date at one point in time, and I was doing this... spiel. Who are you? What are you? Blah, 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 blah. And then at some point I was like, you know, I did this whole colorful synopsis of my life and like who I am. And at some point it was like the next question, the follow-up question was immediately like about the guy clung to me working in a restaurant. And immediately that was his follow-up. Like he was like, oh, so that must be fun. And he didn't do it in a malicious way or like a demeaning way. But, like, that's what stuck out to him. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, so immediately, no, this will be the last date. This person doesn't understand me at all, doesn't understand the gravity of my presence. And, like, it's you know, so that's true, the least though. That's the least interesting thing I just listed, and that's what you went for. Okay, cool. All the best. Good luck. But yeah. that's, you know... And I kind of just, I guess, ran with that at some point. I don't know. Like, really and truly, like, I do just feel that way. And, like, maybe I think too highly of myself, arguably. But that's okay if that's the case. But that's the truth. I think there's people that identify
with their career as their end-all, be-all and what makes them them.
Yeah.
And I think that goes hand-in-hand about what I was talking about last week with acting, right?
Yeah.
Because I've chatted with you about this, of this struggle of like, my identity is this. I chose this path. It's been hard. It is my dream.
Yeah.
And you were like, cool, amazing, great. You are so much more than that though.
Yeah. Like that's literally what you do so that you can eat and you have somewhere to sleep at night. Like they're not one in the same. They're not related in any way.
Amazing. Which is perfect segue.
Perfect.
Into this part, my love.
Let's go, buddy.
Server X, everybody.
Okay, we're gonna jump right in.
We're jumping right in. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Do you need to stretch and get up?
No, let's go.
Okay, well, since we
bear with me though.
I know, we gotta warm you up here.
It's because it's hard to know where to begin. You know what I mean?
I have a couple talking points.
Okay.
I'll see if it helps you out.
Please.
Here's the thing. We started with the hostess at the top of the episode. So let's start with the first person that the guests see in the restaurant when they enter the door. The hostess.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
They see the hostess. Why is it that even though they see this adorable young girl or young whoever.
Chipper, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, hi, hello.
And they just walk by and seat themselves. Do you think you could help figure that one out for me?
My question to... Yes. I think I could... So, no. I can't. Like, I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking when they do this. Maybe they're blind. Which would be acceptable. Still be a little rude, if I'm being honest. But acceptable. Okay?
Yeah.
But I don't know. My thing is when I see that, because you're right, like, you know, I'm often hanging out in the back, keeping a bird's eye on, like, the whole floor plan. So, yeah, when I see someone just blow by a hostess like that, I have to stop and use every shred of my will to hold back from just simply intersecting them and asking, like, where are you going? Like, where are you going right now?
Do you think that would directly affect your tip if you did that?
I think that it would fare very well for me, if I'm being honest. I think that's like, that's part of the, that's my shtick. It's like, you're in my section now. If you know what I mean? You came in, I simply work here. I'm not God. If you're gonna fucking act up, then no, you're not. You're gonna
guys,
leave.
I'm fucking dying already.
You're gonna leave. You know, I'm not down.
Okay, so they walk right by. They walk right by, but guess what they do next, Jules?
I can guess.
They decide, after they've walked by the hostess, who's going to seat them at a lovely clean table, they decide to sit at the only dirty fucking table in the restaurant.
You know what my response to that is? And again, this is anecdotal. This is what I do. First of all, I make them wait. Right? So I give them a chance to watch me for a little while. Like, who's waiting on who, right? So I'll see that happen. And I think, again, in like a normal server's mind, the instinct is to be like, okay, fuck, that has to move to the top of my list of priorities in the next 2 minutes.
Yeah.
For me, it's the opposite. I see that and I'm like, oh, you have no respect for anyone's time or efforts. Okay, amazing. So I'm just gonna, you know, I'm going to actually greet this table first. I'm going to pick up these glasses. I'm going to punch in this order real quick. I'm going to clean the other table that would have been ready had you waited 30 seconds. Then I'm going to pop by and I'm going to simply say, you know, wow, this is crazy. You guys managed to find the only dirty table in the restaurant. People love it. That's what they say. You're in my fucking house now. Do you understand? Like, I'm not messing around.
Guys,
I don't know if I'm the right server to interview, because, like, I'm, you know, I'm a controversial server. I'm starting to realize, looking at your face.
No, babe, it's just funny because here I am doing the exact opposite. I'll drop everything I'm doing, rush over to the table, clean it up. No worries, guys. No problem. No worries. Fuck myself in the back. Then I run to the back of the restaurant. I continue to bitch about them for the rest of the night.
Of course. Your mood is derailed.
You're protecting your peace.
Absolutely.
I need to take a page out of
that's
your
paramount. That's the first part of it. If I couldn't do that, I wouldn't be there. It's mandatory.
All right.
Next. Hit me with it, Daddy.
You go to greet your table. Mm-hmm. Let's use different folks. Let's use the folks that waited at the door like normal people, were sat by the hostess in your section. Hi, guys. How's it going today? I'm Julie. I'll be saying Coke. Coke.
A Diet Coke.
They cut you off. They don't look at you. Hell, now they really don't get your name. And they immediately order their beverage. What do you do?
There's so many different options, because this is probably one of the most common that you get.
Yeah.
I've said anything from, I'm great, thanks, how are you? To, okay, all right, we're just going to jump right into it. And then I'll go, I'm going to start with you. And to the person who just interrupted, I'll go to the opposite person and I'll take their order last. Again, this works fabulously.
Wow.
It works fabulously.
Take notes, servers.
I'm in charge. I am in charge.
It's
and
so
you
true.
Are too. And you are too.
Yeah. And listen, like, I do well. I'm tipped very well, blah, blah, blah. But the problem here, I'm realizing as we're recording this, is like, I'm not protecting my peace that way. I'm getting so irritated.
Yeah.
And it comes and goes with me with serving, right? There's days where I walk in and I'm like, let's go. We got this. I make money so fast. Money flow within, money flow without.
That's right.
I'm feeling good. I'm running around. I'm multitasking like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
My boyfriend could never do this. Like, whatever gets me through the shift.
Oh, we got to touch on. Okay, no, maybe not.
We're going to get to the men later.
Okay, great.
Don't
great.
You worry. Yeah, it's a whole section here.
On that note.
But you're right. There's definitely a better way to go about it. And here's the thing. I don't know if there's coming back from this one for me. So let's say they interject you and they order a hot water with lemon in a bar. Is there coming back from that? I don't think there's any coming back from that for me.
Yeah. Ask me what I would do.
What would you do?
Leave. I leave. That's it. That's it for the day.
Babe, I'll never forget.
Bye.
1 year I decided to work New Year's Eve. And I said, after I work this specific New Year's Eve, I'll never work New Year's Eve ever again. And it was 2015.
That's what a workaholic would say.
I know.
You're an addict.
It was 2014 going into 2015. Picture this. Milestones, Dundas Square. Uh-huh. New Year's Oof. Eve. I didn't even break 200, okay?
Oh, my God.
I was in the lounge, and I had someone order.
Oh, my God.
Hear me out. Hear me out. It's January 1st.
Yeah.
A virgin pina colada and a hot water with lemon.
Dundas Square, though, like, that's
I was
dusty.
Asking for it.
That is dusty. What a dusty crowd. Yeah, man. Ah, that makes me sick.
So for anyone who doesn't know what Dundas Square is, guys, it's like an embarrassing Times Square of Toronto, I guess.
Yeah, it's a tourist trap. And it's all kinds of, which, and again, I think this is like a great talking point. Like, where are you serving? You know what I mean? Like, if, and I'm not speaking to you. I mean, generally, if you're working at a restaurant and you're fucking hating your life and you don't feel like you make enough money and you have all these things to complain about like we do, you have to also ask yourself, like, where are you serving exactly? Do you know what I mean?
No,
because, like,
that makes
I'm big
sense.
On, like, choosing, you got to know the neighborhood. And it's like, because not all restaurants are the same. Not all bars are the same. Duh.
Yeah. You know? Not all crowds are the same. Working corporate, no longer working in the clubs, being out of there by 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Yeah. Like, I used to cocktail till 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I was miserable.
I love corporate.
So for me, the place that I'm at right now, I speak very highly of because it's a healthy work environment,
yeah.
which is extremely rare.
Absolutely.
For a restaurant, babe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know that.
Absolutely.
We can all hold hands and say that.
Absolutely.
Everyone's nice. The management has their shit together.
Yeah.
Sure, everyone has their mood swings and whatever and whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't walk in there scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I could be scared anymore at this point.
Yeah, truly.
Serving at 32, but... You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The days
were
like...
That's hitting me. That statement is like, I remember there was like, I used to fear going to work when
yeah.
I was really young. I was like, what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
Bring
there's
it on,
nothing
bitch.
That could happen tonight that will send me off the rails. Like, that's
exactly.
just, it's just not going to happen.
Totally.
It's not happen.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any extreme icks you want to share and ask me about?
There's countless. That would be the whole show. I would love to talk about, you know, what's really interesting to me is, like, the politics of restaurants. It's something that's, like, overlooked. Like, people talk about restaurants and working in restaurants, and it's just, like, that's the first thing is, like, oh, the customers. But, like, can we talk about, and you're saying you work in a healthy environment now. That's amazing. Everyone gets along. But there's always politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's the restaurant politics that I feel like keeps me coming back.
Because, oh, yeah?
Well, yeah. Like, I'm, you know, a fake student of psychology and psychotherapy. Like, I can read people like a book. I do read people. I like reading people. I love studying people. And
got it.
The restaurants are just such a lush playing field for learning about how people are and why they are the way they are. And then as far as the politics go, it's like once you learn enough and you know enough, you can really start navigating those politics to work for you, like financially, of course, to, you know, get yourself as much money as you possibly can. And it's based on a system that you know works.
Mm-hmm.
And also just make it more fun, you know, like, oh, I know that manager is at, this is awful. This is, I'm really outing myself, but I know that manager is at odds with that manager.
Oh.
And, you know, what am I going to do to stir the fucking pot today?
Oh, people do shit like that.
Because I'm
going to
go for it.
Because
that's my entertainment. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, we tip out. We pay overhead. Working at a restaurant, and again, I think you're going to like this next bit too, is that like, I don't belong to this restaurant. I'm a contractor. I run my own business. My business is entertaining people.
Yeah.
Above all else, whatever restaurant that I happen to be working at the time, I'm just paying them overhead. They charge me a fee to run my business out of their shop.
Babe,
right?
I love that.
But that's what it is. That's what it is. No one owns you. No shitty restaurant, they don't own anyone. No, none of us as servers, as front of house staff, as back of house staff, none of us need these restaurants. These restaurants need us.
Yeah.
So at a certain point for me, you know, pretty early on, but not as early as would have fared me best, I realized this. And when I kind of realized this, that changed the game for me. I was like, oh, no, I'm in charge. I can walk out of my... I don't like what somebody says. I can literally leave. I can turn around, walk away, leave, walk out that door, and immediately walk into another restaurant across the street and walk out of that restaurant with a new job if I want to. That's just, you know, that's the nature of it.
No.
It's a fast business. It's a fickle business. So you gotta play fast and fickle.
Yeah, and you have to make it work for you. And I think it takes years of experience to kind of gain that mindset and to piggyback on what you're saying. It's like this idea of being a contractor in this establishment. Sure, you have to represent their brand. You have to put on the uniform. You have to do all those things. You have to be a part of a team, especially if you're doing team service.
Of course.
And for anyone who doesn't know, team service is like everyone runs everyone's food. Everyone runs everyone's drinks.
Yeah.
No one's doing their own thing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's your bag. It's your money.
That's your bag. That's right.
You know?
That's right.
That's why in the past, working for mom and pops, finding out people are skimming off the top and like losing my mind because you're fucking with my money.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
There's no transparency there. Like there's no accountability when it's just a mother and a father running a restaurant. You know what I mean? Or a brother and a brother or a brother and a cousin, like whatever the case is. There's no accountability. HR departments are good things. You know, like people are like, oh, I don't want to work at a corporate restaurant, like corporate zombie, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, so like you don't want to have rights and you don't want to be like protected and like you don't want to be able to report abuse or report, you know, just misuse of power or whatever the case is. Anyways, back to these restaurant politics that I was referring to. You know, it's really fun for me to like create these little like dramas and really enjoy myself because the restaurant charges me overhead to run my business out of there. And in exchange, that's kind of one of my service fees to them. It's, hey, I'm going to make clowns out of all of you. This is the Jewel Show now. I'm the audience and you are the cast. You know what I mean?
Babe,
It feels fair to me.
I knew you were going to bring your A game today, but I just want you to know I'm proud of you.
Really?
I'm already really proud
of you. Thank
you. But I've got to talk about abuse.
Go, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Guys, it just popped into my head because, again, we could go on all day, right? There's, like, I didn't even know when I was sitting down to kind of plan this out where I would even go or what I would say because there is so much.
For sure.
But to just kind of highlight the politics of HR abuse, corporate versus mom and pop, whatever, this happened in a corporate establishment. There was a dishwasher who was very handsy, asking me out all the time.
Classic.
A classic. A tale as old as time. The dishwasher. We know, right? So, but the dishwashers at my current place are fucking awesome, by the way. But anyways.
And it's like the courage of some of these young men.
Oh.
Because they're young.
The gall, they're courage.
Young as shit.
This man was not, though. Ooh. What I will say was like giving 40s.
Oh, no.
And again, this was continuing. And it was obvious that I was like not down. Because at first, you know, the way I am. And I think the reason why this happens to me sometimes is because I'm too nice. Or I kind of engage a little longer than I should because I'm uncomfortable and I don't really know how to let someone down easy and I'm fine, I'm chill with everything, ha ha hee hee, right? Anyways, this is going on. The head kitchen manager reported it to the front of house manager, my manager, saying, hey, my employee is doing this to Justine at work, yada yada yada, you need to talk to her about it. My manager proceeds to sit me down with this whole report about it, being like, what would you like to do? If you move forward with this, we will have your back and he will lose his job.
Yeah.
It won't be your fault, though. It'll be his fault. Or we withdraw what's been reported. We have a conversation about it. I talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And nobody loses their job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn. Stakes are high here.
What do you think I did?
How old are you?
This was like 4 years ago. So, like, 28?
If I know you, you are probably like, I don't want him to lose his job. Just talk to him about it.
And what,
I'm not God.
And what do you think proceeded to happen to me with that person?
I'm sure it got, like, it either stayed the same or got worse.
It got worse in the sense that, like, he acted like I wasn't even a person.
Yeah.
He completely ignored me.
Yeah.
He was super rude to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that I saved your job, but, like, this wasn't even my fault. I didn't even report this.
Totally.
Someone reported it on my behalf, which has happened to me time and time again in restaurants. Like, I'm grown. Yeah, I can handle myself.
For sure.
And you know what I mean? That's where it gets a little wishy-washy with corporate because everyone's trying to save the day.
Right, right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a good example of that.
I think I myself just cited that it's better to work for a corporate than not because they have these systems in place. That said, I don't rely on them anymore. You know, that hasn't happened to me, but I can totally see that happening. That's not something that hasn't happened at a place that I work at to one of my girlfriends or this and that or the other. Those things are in place, but you can't rely on them. You still have to be kind of learn how to navigate like these choppy waters of all of sometimes very strange, questionable people working there. Like for all you know, that guy was, you know, fresh out of prison and this is his first fucking, you know what I mean? Like it could be anything. And it's good to have like these structures and systems to protect us. That said, you can't rely on them. Like I'll just give you like a quick little, because I can relate to this on some level. Very recently this happened. I don't work nights because I work like, you know, for the most part, Monday to Friday, day shift.
Because she's an adult.
Because I'm a princess and I'm an adult, exactly. And it's that or bust. Again, you know what I mean? Like, this is my life. I am an adult. We have a business relationship and I have very firm boundaries with my time. Anyways.
Unlike me.
Anyways, you'll get there. No, you'll get there. You'll get there. After this, I think you know, you're going to have some good pointers, babes.
I'm going to go on vacation.
I'm optimizing you right
now. I'm going to come back to my place, my establishment, right. Where I'm a contractor, and there's going to be a chariot ride on the way there.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm going to walk in with a cape. Fuck. Continue.
That's
continue.
It.
People already think that I think that way, so no, but continue.
No, that I think that is going to happen to you, though. Because whenever you go to Europe, it's crazy because I was like, yeah, at some point something switched in my brain and I realized I didn't, when that switched? In 2018, I was working at the restaurant, been working there for years, getting really ground down, getting really down on myself. And I took a trip to Europe with my boyfriend at the time. And we were all over the south of France and this and that. We just had the most romantic European vacation. And when I got back, something shifted. Mm-hmm. And I came back with that attitude. And what ultimately came of that was, that was in the summer, and by September of that same year, if that was in June or July, by September, 2 months later of getting back and having that attitude of, I don't need this place needs me, this is my fucking life, I got my first corporate job, and then I ended up leaving restaurants for like 3-4 years, and that was the shift. So when it's like, you're joking, and you're like, I'm gonna go to Europe, and I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna kick ass, no, you might though. You actually might.
Well, it's the switch of life. Like, not to get off topic or anything, but it's seeing that people literally live their lives there like their job is the least interesting thing about them.
Which it is. We digress.
Which it is. But full circle moment. Hello? Which it is. It's giving shaman hour.
Truly.
Okay. Now.
Tell me.
Wait, what was I even saying?
Oh, I was going to tell you a story that happened to me at work really quickly. It's really boring, but it's like, yeah. So I don't work nights. I was doing a favor and I was working a night. Night cooks are a different breed than day cooks. Day team and night team, two different species of human, truly. So there's this one young man, and he's a fucking puppy. Like, he can't be more than maybe 24, 25. Very kind, polite, fun-loving, friendly, you know, like, for a cook to approach somebody like me, who's stomping around all night, He's got a pair. He's got balls immediately. And I respect that in these young bucks. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you want to play? Let's fucking go. So we kind of developed like a friendly rapport over the course of the night. And again, a really fun, you know, joyful little dude. We're chilling. And he's a little bit physical.
Okay.
And it's not creepy. And it's not, it's just like a little bit of, it's like we're razzing each other back and forth. And he's kind of like pretending to like power punch me in the arm kind of thing. Like he's, you know,
yeah, it's getting a little touchy,
but it's getting a little touchy. And anyone who knows me knows I'm not a toucher. I'm not a hugger. I'm not a, like, no, that's not how I play. That's not how I express myself. So I kind of let it ride because up until a certain point, I didn't feel it was, first of all, it was definitely not malicious. It was definitely not perverted in any way. I was starting to understand how this guy is. He's very warm and he's very touchy. That's how he is. And so that was fine. And it kind of like increased a little bit, but ultimately the night ended and that was that. And I didn't think anything of it. Then the next favor I did, probably like the next week on a different night shift. There he is again. And this is kind of starting to happen again. Like, he's, now we have this rapport. So he's like, hey, and he sees me and he starts razzing me and we're going back and forth. And I don't remember what actually happened, what he did, because I was very activated in the moment, but it was enough that I was like, okay, that's my boundary. Like, I see
too
where
far.
That was too far. That was too far. And, he kind of just, we went our separate ways really quickly, but as he walked away, I became activated and I thought to myself, oh fuck, I'm okay. That was too far. And so, like, what am I going to do? I started to panic. I started to, like, feel myself getting activated, getting anxious. And I'm like, oh my God, my face was getting hot. Like, I'm sure I was going red kind of thing. And then I was like, okay, no, not today. Like, I was just coming onto my shift. I was like, no, this is not the tone that I'm going to go into my shift with. So I was in the back and he had gone back to the front in this moment. I went back to the front. I followed him. I went after him and I tapped him on the shoulder and he turned around thinking I was playing again. And I go, stop, come with me. And I motioned with my finger, come with me. And I walked him to the back where there just so happened to be another line cook who's like, whatever, some dude, and one of the sous chefs. And they were back there having their own private conversation. So strategically, I went where there were other people and I said, listen, I don't want to insult you or offend you. I know that you're trying to be kind and we have a relationship where it's funny and we push each other and this and that, but this is too far. If you touch me like that again, I'm gonna break your fucking jaw. And I let it settle. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. You know, I just let it settle.
Oh, I believe you.
I said, I'm gonna break your fucking jaw. Like, calm as a cucumber. And the other two guys are just looking like wide-eyed at this point. No one's saying anything. And I go, like I said, there is no problem here. I'm not upset with you. As I said, I'm not trying to offend you, but that's too far. Do you understand that? And he was like, obviously speechless. And he was like, yep, okay. And I go, great, thank you. And I turned around and I walked away and I went for a smoke. And that was that. That was that.
And since then, have you seen him?
Yeah, I see him. He's friendly, doesn't fucking touch me anymore. It's friendly, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I know that that's easier said than done. That takes balls, but it's to your point where this gray area of boundaries is so rampant in these places.
Yeah.
What I was able to do that day is a product of years and years of enduring abuse where I wouldn't normally have been able to handle it like that in the past.
No, and I love how you brought it full circle.
But that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Again, so it's, you know, like, I'm going to work. I'm having fun. This is my day. This is my life. I'm here because I actively, not that I'm going to choose to want to be here because I have to be here. I chose to be here. I chose this day. I chose this shift. And it's going to go down how I say.
Ah, babe.
Period. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, I love that. I'm going to be taking that into my little Friday double coming up.
Yeah, buddy. Take no shit.
I feel like that goes hand in hand, too, with, like, the kind of money you expect to make that night.
Absolutely.
You know, not to get too woo-woo and manifesty, but, like...
No, but it's true. If, yeah. You go in a shit mood, you're not making any money.
Yeah.
I was actually going to end that with, and, you know, I've never made better money than I make these days, where I'm like, no, this is my shift. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy money. Like, crazy money. Like, I've never seen. And, again, I've been doing this for 12 years.
Right.
And it's like, I've made more... In the last, you know, like, it's just the numbers, like, they don't add up. Like, what I've made this year, because I was out of the game for 3 years doing freelance and doing, you know, doing all these other gig jobs, and now I'm back in the restaurant after 3-4 years, I am making the craziest money that I've ever made. And it's like, I'm not even trying. Like, it's crazy. It's just happening.
No, that's
and
great.
And I think that's why. Because, you know, I'm an adult. I've come into it. I'm taking it for what it is, which is just my job. And that's that.
No, and I can attest to that, you know, like, I really do try to always be positive and the funny person and the good mood when people come in and nice to everybody and the nice bartender, because that's another dynamic we haven't talked about.
Oh, of course.
The server-bartender dynamic, eye roll.
Yep.
We won't go there today. Because...
Bartender, server.
Yeah, and I do both. I do both, but, like, for whatever
reason...
What do
you like better?
It's so interesting. I think it depends on the place, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. because there are places where I've made more as a server versus bar.
Yeah.
And there are places where the bartenders make more than the server. Like, for me, it just comes down to money.
True.
I want to do the job that makes the most money.
I think it's interesting that you've worked places where bartenders make more than servers, because I have the complete opposite experience. You literally can't pay me to bartend because you just couldn't pay me enough. Like, how?
What
how
about it?
How do you make more money as a bartender? I think that's crazy.
It depends on the place.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of corporate establishments, that's the role where that servers should aspire to be.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
That's what they try to sell you.
That's what they try to sell you. Exactly. And I personally don't view it that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a choice that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I like doing both because it shakes it up.
Fair.
And at the place that I'm at now, in the beginning, the bar wasn't doing well. And I was like, I'm not going to be doing this anymore. I'm going to be serving. But now it's balanced out to where I have it figured out as to how I make my money.
Right.
And I think with bar, what I like about it is you're kind of in your own little bubble. You're behind the bar.
Yeah.
Sure, you're expected to run food every now and then and
For whatever.
But, like, servers are running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm shaking cocktails like a psycho.
Yeah.
And, like, pouring beers and, like, changing kegs. And it's, like, a little more physical.
Right.
But I think I just like it better right now because it's a groove.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. If you found a rhythm.
There is something nasty about walking up to a table and, like, walking away with, like, a $200 tip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You were playing comedy. Our fucking hostess with the mostest.
Absolutely.
But, you know, as we walk up to these tables and we talk about tips, Jules.
Oh, I would love to.
We talk about tips.
I had some insane tips last week.
See? Best thing ever.
Insane. It was like a Monday afternoon. Tell me how, I love working the Monday day close, which is, and I prefer to work inside. So we've got this great big patio. And it's like, again, they convince you that the aspiration is to be a patio server. I'm like, nuh-uh, no thank you.
Where people sit out there and camp with one fucking bear for 4 hours?
It's absolutely horrendous out there. And this heat, I'm not built for this. You keep me inside, I take, and the inside shift, there's only one of you, right? Why would I compete with 5 other people on the patio who all have bills to pay when I can just stay inside and I'm the only one there and then take Everything that comes in.
The walk-in of
mine.
Six.
So
the
it's
business
a longer
lunch.
Shift. It's a longer shift, but it's all business lunch. And so, like, I worked a Monday day close, and everybody on the patio was whining all day. The vibe was in the toilet. All of these girls, they were just horrified to be there. They were so upset. Why is there 5 of us on? This is insane. Nobody made any fucking money. Everybody's like, I made fucking $80 today. And at the end of the day, with the last patio server, she's like, yeah, that was fine. She's like, nobody made any money, but, like, I was the closer, so, like, I made, like, you know, X amount. And I was like, oh, I made way more than that. And people are like, how do you make money on a day close, on a Monday? And I'm like, I manifest a bitch. Some
You're
of the tips
like,
I got last week were insane.
No, and I love
I had one,
that.
I had a table, their bill was $100. I did comedy hour. They were my first table. I went up to them and I was like, yep, this is the Jules show. I turned it on. Within 2 minutes, these guys were like, oh, so you're obviously a comedian, right? Like, you're a performer. And exactly. And I'm like, no, but you know, and I play up on this. Their bill is $100. You tip me $50. First table of the day on the Monday. So, and it's like 5-0-0-0. Do you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like he tipped in a large percent. He tipped me 50% of the bill. I was like, okay, I'm on fire. I'm on. I was like, beautiful. Jules, this is Monday afternoon. This is the first table. This is a healthy start to the day. Let's fucking go. Later that day, a table came in, drunk off their asses, but like mid-40s, cool, affluent drunk. Not sloppy. Not you wouldn't even know that they were drunk if... You didn't have my expertise of human psychology 101, but I was like, oh, these guys are fucked up. And they have money, you can tell.
You mean smart, serve, certified, Jules?
Absolutely. And so, you know, I didn't actually serve them that much. I was just strategic. And their bill came out to $235 and change, or $237. And she tipped me $100. So from those two tables, I made $150. These were like two of my like first tables of the day on a Monday afternoon inside. Imagine how good I felt when that happened.
Of course.
And I was like, let's fucking go. And then I ended up making like $400 that day. It was insane. It was a Monday. It was insane. I don't know how I do it.
And that's exactly it. You know, last week I was at my other place that I'm at, you know, once a week or whatever in town. And there's this couple that always comes in They started coming in when we first opened, you know, during the pandemic, yada, yada, yada. They love me. They're like screaming, jumping, so happy to see me.
Yeah.
She tips me $100 every time I serve her, no matter the bill. My manager's like, I don't get it.
I'm wet. Yeah.
Like, why? And I'm like, because I'm me.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Exactly.
I just got to be better about having shifts like that every time.
Yeah.
And really going into it as like making it work for me, because half the time I'm out, I'm late, I'm rolling out of bed, I haven't eaten breakfast.
Yeah, and it's like you feel it's an obligation that you're showing up to, whereas it's not that.
And I think anyone can relate to that with any
absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
All right, Jules. Before we wrap up this fucking journey we have gone on.
It's been a ride.
Listen, it's also been very empowering, but I want to make it a little more toxic again.
Yeah, yeah, let's yeah.
Because the restaurant industry is toxic and we can all hold hands.
Let's take it back to the gutter. Absolutely.
I want to target the male audience a little bit here.
Sure.
I want to have them wake up.
Oh, there's no one who loves men more than me. You know that.
I know you love men. And I...
So let's do this for
I
them.
I love them too.
Let's do this for them.
You see how I'm struggling to say it? I'm working on it. And again, disclaimer, not all men are like this. Yada, yada, yada. But if you order your burger with no tomatoes... I automatically,
It's going to be a no from me, yeah. It's going to be a no from me. And further to that, like, I've actually had, it's pretty common. I'll have the deluxe burger, okay, everything on it. And I know, it's interesting because you can tell which guys you have to clarify for. There's other guys, and I always know when, and I always bag it, that after they order their burger, I know that I have to say, everything on it, okay? And they go... just cheese, bacon, and ketchup. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Are you a child?
Grow up.
Are you a child? Are you a little boy at the barbecue? No, mommy, I don't want any, I don't want mustard on my burger. Oh, little Hank doesn't like mustard, hee hee. You're a fucking grown man.
It is the biggest turnoff.
Big time.
Another one? Is it spicy? Fuck off.
Literally. I'll bring it. Do you want a glass of milk? A little bit. Do you want a glass of milk with that? Is it spicy? Like, yeah. Hot wings? They're hot. You know what's funny? Do you know what I do? When guys go on that route where I can tell they're like, what are your flavors? Because some people just assume that I have flavors. And to their credit, I do have flavors for our wings. But for a long time, we didn't. And this is not, I'm not making this up. For over a decade, you could only get hot wings at my restaurant or salt and pepper if you're a little boy, right? So now we have these flavors. So sometimes somebody will order the wings and they'll be like, are the wings hot? They're literally labeled hot wings. And it's the description is a pound of chicken wings tossed in hot sauce. Like, that's the description. Are the wings hot? And they'll say, are the wings hot? And I'll go, yeah. And they go, what are your other flavors? And I'll literally be like, just that. Just hot. And they'll be like, really? Just hot? And I'll be like, yeah, I can do like salt and pepper if you don't want any sauce. And then I'll kind of force them to be like, okay, I'll get hot. I love it. I love to watch them squirm. I'm evil.
Okay.
I'm evil. I don't
know. Do you
want
to know when I like to watch them squirm?
Yes.
When the bill comes.
Oh, God.
So
if... So wait. Like man and woman on a date or like at what capacity?
Any scenario.
Okay.
Man and woman on a date.
Yep.
And also bros out together.
Okay.
And I'll be like, oh, do we want to split it?
Oh, we need separate bills?
Oh,
that's what we're going to... Oh,
buy your fucking buddy's beer.
Can you guys just... figure this out amongst yourselves.
Meanwhile...
And if no, why? There's five of you. None of you can do multiplication. None of you can do short division.
That being said, I will go out of my way to split bills if I know my tip won't be... I'm like, you know what? It's probably better if I split this spinach dip six ways. It's going to come back to me, my karma. And if it's a woman asking, I'm like, no problem. Do you want me to stand on my head as I do it?
Literally. Literally. No, I always do it. I keep them separate. That's how I punch stuff in. But I'm going to try.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to try to take it on one bill. Of course I am.
Of course.
Of course I am.
And it's even better.
That's my bag, babe. That's my bag. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't get any more simple than that. Like, I'm always going to try.
Yeah. Because we're constantly multitasking, right? So anything that can make the next 3 minutes easier
yeah.
and allow you to do something else.
And also, it's like, I hate running the risk of six $2 tips when I can just get, like, one $60 tip because the guy now is on the spot and I'm looking over his shoulder and he's like, okay, I have to tip 25. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, love it.
I don't care. I don't care. It's your money? No, it's mine now. I don't care what walk of life you come from, what the occasion is, what's brought you here. That's my money now. That's how this works. That's what
the
economy is. I
don't care if in Europe they don't tip.
Doesn't matter.
Speaking of Europe,
Doesn't matter.
I literally had this guy come in and be like, do you have any Belgian beer? Because I work at like a craft beer bar, right? So we have a ton.
Of course.
And literally
do
as I'm...
Do you have a Witt beer? Can you look at my menu? There's 30 of them.
What's on tap? I don't know, 43 styles of beer there, babe. I can stand here and listen for you because I'm an actor. My memory's excellent, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the back.
I'm going to give you a minute. Here's a menu. Take a beat. I'll be back. No rush. Bye.
And he goes, this beer is usually served room temperature. I just got back from your... I don't care. I need you to know that I don't care.
Absolutely.
I don't care where you were.
I just got back from Europe. This is served at room temperature. How nice.
We're not in Europe.
Yeah.
And furthermore, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You gotta how nice them. Oh, how nice. And just carry on with your day. How nice. That's great.
How nice them.
How nice them. Well, how nice.
Babe, before we wrap it up, do you have any male icks you want to bring to the table?
Oh! No, you kind of nailed them. Yeah, you got one more.
Ugh. This is a controversial one.
Okay. Love it. Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When a man, a straight man, okay, the gays, they can do what they want.
Yeah.
orders a vodka soda.
Okay, that's not where I thought where you were going with that. Yeah, that sucks. Fuck that shit.
I would rather, because I don't give a shit. None of this toxic masculinity. That's a girly drink. I would rather you order Cosmo or an IPA. If you are ordering a vodka soda... Or furthermore, a seltzer?
Yeah.
Do you guys have White Claws?
That's where I thought you were going with it. That's
where the fuck are we? The cottage?
Literally. Is this your... Are you at your first year university bar? A vodka soda? Didn't you... That you had all of these years to expand your horizons and you landed back at a fucking highball? You want a gin and soda? Why? You know that there's like other things on the menu, right? That's insane.
And listen, I think, to be honest with you,
I have before, again, like, I think I've been, like, taking large drink orders, and again, I'm riffing as I'm taking these orders, and I think I've had somebody ordered something, and me being like, ew, just kidding, next. I love insulting people, people's orders.
And, like, certain audiences love it, right?
Of course.
They love it. And, again, vodka soda is, it's not like it's a wedding or, like, a restaurant that only has highball. Like, we're talking, like, not just a bar. I'm talking, like, a beautiful drink menu, an expansive, you know, beer list.
Wine list,
anything.
We've literally got it all.
A mocktail. A Shirley Temple would be better at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same price.
Absolutely.
So that's where I'm ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's probably a good place to put a pin in it.
Do you think we've been problematic today?
Honestly, no. I think I might have been a little bit. People are like, why is this person so evil? And this is like maybe like a small risk to the public that I'm employed somewhere. Thank God we didn't say where.
No.
But no, I don't think we were problematic.
No.
My hope is that if there's, like, somebody who is, you know, an artist or actor or singer or fucking in school to be a lawyer and they're working at a restaurant and they hate their life, I hope that, like, they can, like, find a way to, like, hate it less. It's fun. Get that bag.
This is
the best money you're gonna make until you're very deep into your choice career, whatever that, you know, looks like.
No, and I think that's an amazing place to end, and there is nothing like working in a restaurant.
No.
Like, it will be some of the worst and best days of your life.
Absolutely.
The people you meet mm-hmm. are usually the most unhinged, yet manage to be some of your lifelong friends along the way.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
It's a privilege. In a lot of ways, it is a privilege to, like, not have to leave your own neighborhood and get to interact with like 100 different people in like a 5-hour span. Like, how else do you do that?
and make friends.
It's like a weird form of like space-time travel in a way. It's like you just get... And I think that's like a privilege. I have to look at it as a privilege.
Totally. And otherwise, you don't have to bring exhausting. Your work home.
Yeah.
That's your it. Back may be broken, but
at the
hey.
End of the day, babe, it's just burgers and fries.
Serving fries, not saving lives.
That's right.
That's another one I always say.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're really not. Doctors are doing that. Okay, bye. Oh, wait, Jules. Yeah? Where can they find you? Or do you not want to reveal yourself?
Oh, my God. No, I don't want to be revealed. Not at this juncture. Maybe next time.